It's Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand. All right, there's a docuseries that starts tonight on HBO about Chester Otto Wager. He is the Starved Rock killer, the man who served time in prison for that, but there's no reason to wait for that. Chicago Magazine did a publication of deep dive into the story by Jake Malooly. Jake joins us on a phone line now. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
I mean, what a fascinating story. Tell me how it is that you got drawn into it.
Yeah, so thanks so much for the kind words. I've known about the Starved Rock murders almost my whole life. I grew up about 15 miles west of Starved Rock State Park, and this is a story, you know, in a small town, everyone in town knows about it.
Sure.
The most infamous crime in the area's history. And when I was 10 years old, I read a book about the case and walked away from reading the book with the thesis that its author had, which was that Chester Wager was guilty and that the right man was put away in prison for life. But the more, you know, then I became a journalist and began looking into this case back in February of 2020, shortly before Wager was going to be getting out on parole after 59 years in prison. And the more I looked into the case, the more interviews I did with folks around the case, the more case documents I read. You know, they're at this point, you know, dozens of thousands of pages. I began to find reasonable doubt around every corner.
The story involves three women who were murdered in 1960 at Starved Rock State Park at the St. Louis Canyon. It was a crime that drew the attention not only of the Chicago area, but of the nation. After about a month or so of an investigation that seemed to trip over hurdles from time to time, Chester Otto Wager was caught. He was questioned, and he later confessed. He was paroled last February, and this is, I want to get to the questioning of him and the charging of him and all of that, Jake, but he was paroled last February, still maintaining his innocence. His lawyer said that he probably could have gotten out earlier if he just would have expressed some remorse, but he never would do that because he's working still to prove his innocence and to exonerate himself.
Exactly. Yeah, that was one thing that drew his most recent lawyer, Andy Hale, to the case and, you know, also drew my attention to the case. This is a man who has served 59 years in jail and refused to admit guilt, refused to express any remorse. And, you know, knowing that with the parole board, that would basically damn his attempts at early release.
Right.
So that's a really impressive, that's sort of a really impressive stance. And I think a lot of people who've been drawn into this case and become convinced of Wager's innocence have done so in part because they, you know, this is a guy who won't back down. He, you know, continues his fight to this day, even though he's out on parole. His first, you know, thought was, I'm going to, with every legal avenue I have, prove my innocence.
In the story in Chicago
Magazine. That's what they're doing.
I'm sorry, Jake. In the story in Chicago Magazine that went up today, Jake Malooly writes about the investigation. And he was actually, the coppers set up shop at the state park, the Starved Rock Lodge, for the investigation. He was working in the dish room, I believe it was, or in the kitchen, and was friends with the officers, or at least had a friendly relationship. But that turned, and he became a suspect. Can you explain for me how it is that the officers started to zero in on him?
Yeah, so Wager was a dishwasher at the lodge during the killings, and was, you know, as the officers were investigating the case, was sort of a daily presence there. You know, he would bring them coffee, he would bring them food from the kitchen. So they knew him in a conversational way. And then at some point, you know, everyone at the Starved Rock Lodge at that time who worked there was basically a suspect.
Sure.
And they began looking into everyone's background. And what they discovered in Wager's background was a juvenile case where he was accused of raping a, he was 12 or 13 at the time, and he was accused of raping somebody who may have been an 8-year-old. Uyghur says that he did not do that, that he
he says that he did. He did. He was in contact with the victim and did some things that were inappropriate, but sort of
right.
admitted it in order to move on with his life. That was his story back then.
True, yeah. And so that sort of put him on the radar of the investigators in a much bigger way. And they began questioning him, gave him lie detector tests, 6 lie detector tests over a period of about a month and a half, 2 months. And he passed every one. Soon after the initial investigations started to stall, the state's attorney, actually, at the time, this man named Harlan Warren, sort of put on his detective cap and became his own Sherlock Holmes and began looking into the case himself.
And so then there's this scene where they're questioning him for days, right? Keeping him awake for more than 24 hours, it sounded like. And they're trying to get him to confess. And even Uyghur's parents are there saying, just say you did it. You know you did it.
Did I get that wrong? Have that slightly wrong.
Oh, good. Well, correct me, please.
Yeah, so it was one of the detectives. His parents did come while he was being interrogated on the night he eventually confessed. His parents were brought up into the confession room and, you know, had a sort of moment with him. It was his father, Uyghur's father, Herschel, who actually was the one who said he overheard one of the deputies telling Chester, his son, you know, just say you did it, you know, confess, why are you doing this to your parents? Why are you putting your wife through this? Because, you know, this is a small town, and when somebody is accused of, you know, is a prime suspect in the most heinous crime in the county's history, you know, everyone knows about it.
Jake Mullooly is a writer. Jake Mullooly is a writer for Chicago Magazine. He's got a piece up called Unmaking a Murderer. It went up today in advance of this HBO docuseries that starts tonight, 2 pieces tonight, and then it wraps up, I think, on Wednesday. So let's move forward to as Chester Otter Uyghur continues to proclaim and fight for his exoneration. He's actually won a couple rounds in court. Where are we there, Jake? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so shortly after Uyghur was paroled in February of 2020, in August of 2020, his lawyers filed a motion to have the evidence in the case examined, DNA examination. And so that led to several months of hearings over the past few months. But finally, this past fall, a judge okayed the evidence in the case to go to a DNA inspection company in Virginia. And we are awaiting the results of those tests right now. They're said to potentially come February 8th, which is the next date of the next hearing.
So they went through the evidence drawers and they found evidence. They were, I think, surprised, as I read from your story, that some of the evidence was preserved, others of it was not, but that they got, was it 8 pieces, Jake? And they're
correct,
testing those 8. And so we're awaiting the results of those tests. And who knows, maybe in February, Chester will win, or at least will move closer to exoneration, or perhaps will move closer to final implication. We'll see. Either way, it is a great story written by Jake Mullooly, Unmaking a Murderer, in Chicago Magazine. Check it out. You read it tonight ahead of the docuseries. It certainly will help inform your watching. Jake, great piece. It was wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you.
It's something, isn't it, when there's a story that's so personal, and then you're able to put pen to paper and make it read. That's nice.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was sort of the story I think I was sort of born to write. Mm-hmm. So it's great to finally do that.
I understand that. Nice work, Jake. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's Chicago's Afternoon News. You're listening to 720 WGN. A weird thing might be happening with NHL players and the Beijing Olympics. We'll talk to Kevin Powell about that. First, a visit into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up. WGN.